The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we shared yesterday, we were blessed to have Elder Chris Taylor of Vero Beach, Florida with us several years ago on a fifth Sunday. He preached a powerful sermon about building our house upon the rock rather than the sand from chapter 6 of Luke. Join us today for the conclusion of this sermon entitled Digging Deep.
My heavenly home is right and fair.
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, He is the God of our supply. He shall supply all your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus, by God in Christ Jesus. Now, you either believe that or not, He's going to supply all your need. Amen? Amen. This is the supernatural God that we worship. Remember the three Hebrew men over in Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Nebuchadnezzar made a golden idol. Yeah. That wasn't of himself. It was just a golden idol. Made a new god, basically. And when the musical instruments started playing, then the command was everyone had to bow down and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. Everybody did it except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why didn't they do it? Because they knew that was... What commandment is that? Oh, yeah, that's the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any image of anything in the earth or in the sea below or anything below the earth. He said, only God shalt thou worship. They're not going to bow down to that idol. And so they didn't. Everybody came to Nebuchadnezzar and says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego are not bowing down to your image. The penalty was to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he says, crank up the heat, make it 7 times hotter than normal, and you throw these 3 guys into that furnace. Now, it was so hot that the people that threw these 3 Hebrew men in got burned up throwing them in the furnace. But yet, that should have been Nebuchadnezzar's first clue something was going on here. The 3 Hebrew men didn't get burned up. But the 3 people who threw them in did get burned up. And it says their coats and their hats and their everything they had, nothing on them burned up. Now, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't any dummy. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar had taken math. He had taken arithmetic. And Babylonian math, I don't think, is any different than American math. Because he knew that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. He says, wait a minute, wasn't there 3 that were thrown into that furnace? He says, by count, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the 4th one is likened to the Son of God. Now, he was having a little trouble with his Babylonian math there. He couldn't understand what was going on. But there's 4. So Jesus Christ was in the midst of the fiery furnace with them. Now, there's the story the old preacher told. This is not Bible. He's just telling it. And he's saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fire. They're in trouble. And Jesus is up in heaven. And he says, I need somebody to go down and save those 3 boys. Hey, Gabriel, come over here. How long will it take you to get down there and save them? Oh, it'll take me 10 minutes. He goes, no, it's too long. He says, how about you, Michael? Michael, you're pretty fast. How long will it take you to get down there, save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He says, take me 5 minutes. No, that's too long too. And Michael and Gabriel looked up Jesus and said, why don't you go down? How long will it take you to get down there, Jesus? And Jesus says, I'm already there. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't have to come after the fact and rescue them. Jesus Christ was right there with them. And they didn't have 1 burnt piece of clothing, no singe, no, not even smell of smoke on it. This is the supernatural God that you worship. And those 3 Hebrew men, they knew, they said, we don't know if he's going to save us or not, but we know he can. And he did. Amen. Now we need to dig deep, brothers and sisters. We need to dig into the promises of God and stand upon them. As we said, God did not promise us a convenient life. We got to work. Marriages are not easy. Amen? Amen. Are you hearing any amens? Marriages are hard. I mean, if you're going to take the trolley up the mountain of holy matrimony, you got to climb up there. You can't take a trolley up there. You got to climb. It's hard work. But he tells us that marriage can be wonderful. And also, broken marriages, marriages you don't think are going to work anymore, they can be healed because we serve a supernatural God. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He tells us, you want a great marriage? You lost that loving feeling? Have you lost that loving feeling? He says, exhibit a sacrificial love to your wife. That's tough. That's more than flowers and I love you. That's you're willing to lay down your life, your time, your energy for your wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. The wife is to submit unto her husbands as unto the Lord. If they're both building their marriage upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, when the storms come, that marriage will stand.
Amen.
It will not crumble. It will not fall because they're wise, right? Very next chapter, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents, right? Basic command. He's obey your parents, Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise. We look at the Ten Commandments over in Exodus chapter 20, and it is the first commandment with promise. He says, if you honor your father and mother, honor your father and mother, that your days on the earth may be long. Amen. So, but we're going to have a great marriage. You're going to have a great family. You're going to be a good father. You're going to be a good mother. Then you got to dig deep. Because guess what? The storms are coming. The storms have come, but they're coming. They are coming. Let's go to the next verse. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, one summer, I got a job with a construction company. And my job was to dig footers. Now, Florida's different than Alabama. I don't know how you do it up here, but we just got sandy soil down in Florida. In order to build a house, you had to have a foundation. So we had to dig. I dig these what's called footers. I think they're about 2 foot by 3 foot. It had to be square. And we'd build like two of them so that they could start laying the foundation or the flooring of the house. But it needs something firm to rest upon. And that was what I was doing. I was digging the hole, digging these trenches, 2 foot by 3 foot. And then the cement truck would come in and pour cement into these footers that I dug. And then we'd put rebar in there. And after that dried, that's what the house was built upon. Now, I did that for a whole summer, digging in the hot Florida sun. That was tough work to me. I didn't have any problem going home and sleeping. But that was also the summer of my first vision. I had a vision, brothers and sisters. I did. I was leaning on my shovel, sweating, looking up at the Florida sun, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to law school. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. But anyway, in order to have a house, you must have a foundation. In order to have the foundation, according to this parable, you have to dig. Now, in order to start digging, let me put it this way. In order to obey the commands of Christ, there is an inevitable digging process. Amen? If you're going to obey the commands of Christ, there is an inevitable digging process. And when you start digging, what do? Get out the shovel, start digging, and whatever isn't solid, you cast aside. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever's solid, whatever's not solid in your life, you dig up and you start casting aside. Like hay, wood, stubble, and you got to start digging. Sometimes you're digging past your jealousy, right? Sometimes you're digging past your anger. Sometimes you're digging past your bitterness. See, all these things are not solid. They're loose soil that you got to cast aside in order to get to the foundation that is underneath that. Many of the times we let our past control our present. Many times we let our past control our present and also direct our future. And that ought not to be that way. Amen?
Amen.
He tells us over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. For I, what? Stretch forth. For the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I need to put the past in the past and let Christ form my present and let Christ direct my future.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now, when you start digging, when you start engaging in this process, things are going to start happening. Stuff is going to start moving. You're going to start looking different. You're going to start doing things differently than you've done before. And people are going to start scratching your heads. When you start digging, this is the time that your friends start leaving you. So this is the time that your wife or your husband saying, what in the world is going on here? This is the time when the boys at the job or at the dock start scattering when they see you coming. These are the times when people start talking about you. These are the times when things start moving. Now, we can get a little confused at this point, because sometimes we think, when we start this digging process, we think maybe the devil's messing with us or the devil's involved in this. Let me tell you something. As I just explained, it's not the devil, it's the shovel. Amen? It's not the devil, it's the shovel, because things are moving. And some of these people you need to put behind you. Some of these people you need to unfriend. You know, he tells us in Titus, he says, a heretic upon the first or second admonition reject. We need to tell the strangers. We need to go out and people and say, come and see. We need to share the truth. But at the same time, we don't need to hang out with these people and be connected with these people. Heretic upon first, second admonition, reject. Some people we just need to leave behind, because that's an inevitable process. That's the loose soil, some of that loose dirt that you got to cast aside so that you can get down to the foundation. You got to dig past your pride. You got to dig past your anger. You got to dig past your jealousy in order to get down to this foundation. Remember Joseph? Joseph, man, he was a good guy. I remember reading his life, and I could not believe how faithful Joseph remained throughout all his trials. Remember, the first thing was he was in the pit, placed in the pit by his own brothers. Then he went to Potiphar's house, and we know what happened there. Then he went to prison. But then after that, he went to the palace. And that's what we have to go through sometimes. Sometimes we have to go through the pit. Then we have to go through Potiphar's. Then we have to go through prison. But eventually, we get to the palace. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, we see that Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, and he feels foolish for having to do so. But he says, bear with me in my folly. Just bear with me. And he tells them, he says, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times beaten with rods, once stoned, three times shipwrecked. And I had many, many perils, perils with robbers, perils with hunger, perils with thirst. Not only that, the daily care of the churches. No, the Lord knows that you got to go through this digging process before you get to that foundation. So in other words, don't let anybody dissuade you. Say, get out of the way. I'm digging. I'm digging. Get out of my way, because I'm going to something precious. I'm going to the foundation. What is that foundation? We know what that foundation is. That foundation is the rock. It is the rock that is higher than I. It's the shadow of a rock in a dry and thirsty land. It's the, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, he says, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. That foundation is Jesus Christ. But you got to dig. Now, we're not talking about eternal salvation, brothers and sisters. You couldn't dig to heaven if you wanted to. That's all Jesus Christ's work. But once he gives us that new nature, once we're a new creature, once we're born again of the Spirit of God, we and only we can start this digging process to improve our lives and to be better disciples of Jesus Christ. But it's going to take hard work, which you already talked about. And it's also going to have to take a little patience, right? I mean, everybody's got a microwave, right? I got a microwave. You ever eat cup of noodle soup? Well, that's quick. TV dinner? Yeah. When's the last time any of y'all cooked 40-minute grits? I don't see any hands. See, this thing, you know, he gives different parables. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard. He talks about planting a seed and the seed coming up, watering. You know, this is an activity here that you have to wait for. But this is an activity that's digging down to the foundation to build a house. This takes work, and it takes patience. And it takes patience, brothers and sisters. And that's something in our day and age that we are sorely lacking. Patience. But it does pay off. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, he says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." See, the wise man hears and does, but the foolish man hears and does not. See, the wise man didn't build upon the rock that was there. See, he didn't go there and find a rock to build his house upon. He went there and he had to dig. He had to dig down in order to find a rock. And then he built the house. See, the two men here, there's two men, they started off with the same soil. They started off equally. Mm-hmm. Same soil. The only difference is one took the time and energy, work, and patience in order to dig down to the rock. The other one was too impatient. He just wanted to immediately build the house. So he's got the process wrong, right? He's got the wagon before the horse. And this is what the world is teaching us all the time. The world is teaching us to be impatient, to put the wagon before the horse. People should live together before they get married. We see and read in these supermarket magazines all these people having children before they even get married. Have a car before you can afford it. You know, instead of giving your children cars, maybe you ought to teach them first to make car payments before you give them a car. Amen. But anyway, the world is always telling us things are out of order. God puts these things in order for us. We know, and part of the reason why we take things out of order is because we are impatient. And we are following the philosophy of the world. If I want to be a real dad, I got to get under what I'm supposed to be under, right? And there's some people who want to be leaders who haven't even learned how to be good followers yet. See, God tells us, here's the word, here's my authority, you need to get under this authority. In other words, you need to get under what you need to get under before I'll put you over what you're supposed to be over. You need to be a good father, a good dad. In order to do that, you need to get under what you're supposed to get under. Then I'll put you over what you're supposed to be over. This is a family thing. It's a child thing. It's an internal thing that we must go through as disciples. And now let's conclude our sermon this morning. Well, by stating this, that doers dig down to the rock. Hearers can't understand why their house keeps falling down. If we're hearers only, our house is going to keep falling down. And the only difference is that you haven't put it into action. So he tells us over in Hebrews, he says, we need to mix. The reason they failed it is they didn't mix the word with faith. With faith. That's stepping out. That believing. Finally, the man, the wise man, and the foolish man. This is my last point. The wise man and the foolish man had to face the same storm. Now, I would love to stand up here. I know Brother McCool would love to stand up here and tell you that if you're a faithful disciple of Christ, life is going to be smooth. Bed of roses for the rest of your life. But he knows better, and so do I, is that you and I are all going to face storms. They are inevitable. But the difference is, what happens when the clouds part and the sunshine is upon us once again? Whose house will still be standing? Will it be the foolish man or the wise man? Brothers and sisters, I want to be the wise man. Amen. How about you?
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.